you want to come to a sports radio show where the producer ain't all up in the video and all up on the songs, come to Rehab Sports Guys. Shout out to Suge Knight, and I hope they lock you under the jail.
What is up, everybody? You're listening to the Rehab Sports Guys podcast, and this is going to be a solo podcast with me, Ian, Jesse, and David are out doing more important things, but I'm bored and I feel like doing a podcast. So we are going to recap all the awesome college basketball games from last night. I'm also going to hit the Twitter sphere and check out some questions y'all done hit me with. And let's go ahead and get into all this March Madness, because last night was complete madness. The first game of the night, Gonzaga took on Florida State. And Florida State was picked by some to upset Gonzaga, because Gonzaga sometimes underachieves in the tournament for whatever the reason may be. Gonzaga took the lead early and never let Florida State climb back in. Florida State a couple times got it back close. At one point, they had it within five, but then the Gonzaga Bulldogs outscored them 14-5. So it got within five, but then Gonzaga went on a run and kind of put them away, as a number one seed should against a number four seed. Florida State is a good team. They just didn't have what they needed in the second half. And Gonzaga had jumped up to a 38-27 lead at halftime. It was a great game. It wasn't super, like, blown out. It was kind of a back-and-forth game. I had Gonzaga going to the Elite Eight to face Texas Tech, which I also got right. Texas Tech just basically ran off and hid from a Michigan team that couldn't make a basket. They couldn't really score in the Florida game either. They didn't play well. They just played good defensively. Their defense couldn't save them for how atrocious they were last night. Like, Michigan was bad last night. I mean, Texas Tech showed they could play some defense. Culver, I've said this multiple times, reminds me a lot of Jimmy Butler. And last night, Texas Tech completely suffocated Michigan. Michigan, don't feel bad. Texas Tech has done this to a lot of teams. They beat West Virginia by like 30 earlier this season. So, Texas Tech has ran off a hid away from a lot of their opponents in the Big 12. This is why I think Texas Tech is a Final Four team. And for all you Arkansas fans that may be listening, Chris Beard, if he takes this team to a Final Four, is not leaving Texas Tech. If he leaves Texas Tech, he's going to the University of Texas, where my sources have told me that is a rumor that he is going to be offered the Texas job if they let go of Shaka Smart, because supposedly Shaka Smart is supposed to go to the Virginia area if Buzz Williams takes the A&M job. So you're going to talk about so he's going to go to Virginia Tech and take Buzz Williams. Buzz Williams is going to come down and take the A&M job. So where does that leave Arkansas? I have no idea. Maybe Samson and Houston, but UCLA is also calling him, so I don't know. Maybe it's a name we haven't heard, but I'm very intrigued by this, and it's gotten me off my topic of the tournament. But the two games last night, or two of the four games last night, Texas Tech and Gonzaga moved on and will play each other just like they said. The other two games, were Virginia versus Oregon, which was a tremendous, both of these games had tremendous endings. Virginia ended up holding on, didn't shoot very well. Their two best shooters were 8 for 28, but Oregon wasn't much better. Virginia showed they could play defense, which that should be no surprise to anybody that's watched basketball, college basketball for the last 5 to 10 years. Virginia historically is a great defensive team under their coach. Oregon was the one team that was a quote-unquote Cinderella because they weren't a 1-5 seed. And they ended up beating Virginia. And then Purdue, yes, it's kind of a back and forth, but at one time Purdue had an 18-point lead in that second half. And then Tennessee climbed all the way back and had a 3-point lead with a couple seconds, or 2-point lead with a couple seconds left. Purdue comes off a screen, shoots up a three, kicks his leg out, gets fouled. We can have the debate all day long on whether that's a foul or not. I don't personally, I wouldn't have called it a foul. But in that situation, it wasn't the worst leg kick I've ever seen. So him being called for a foul is, I mean, it's not. You just got to know in that situation, yes, you got to close out, but you got to jump straight up. You can't get into where he would swing a leg out. You got to be smarter than that and not foul him in that situation. You got to know when he comes off that screen, he's rising up. He's not going to keep running. So you got to know that as soon as you come off the screen, you got to be able to jump. Dude kept running and ran right into him. Leg kick or not, I think he still runs into him, period. So, yeah, it's a bogus call, but at the same time, you had a chance to win, and it gets tipped. Then you go into overtime, and they basically kick your butt in overtime. Tennessee, you really can't be mad. You were down 18 points in the second half. So, there's that. You were down 18 points in the second half, and it came down. The fact that you were even in the situation for the referee to save you or hurt you, it's just shocking to me regardless. So, that was an upset because I had Tennessee winning that game. That was the only game that I got incorrect. So, 3 of the 4 teams that I picked. So, my bracket is surviving and advancing. That's the first big hit that I've taken because I had Tennessee going to the Final Four. So now, with Virginia and Purdue playing, I don't have a winner in that game in my bracket left. So, I guess I have to redo that prediction, but I'll redo it. Okay. I have Purdue in this game. I just think they can score too many points. I mean, they put 99 on Tennessee, and granted, that's in 45 minutes, but if they can put anywhere in the mid-70s like Duke has shown this year against Virginia, if you can score in the mid-70s, Virginia can't keep up. Used to is if you can score 55 or 60, you could beat Virginia. Now it's Virginia's got a little bit of scoring, but if you score in the mid-70s, Virginia has no chance. I don't care what anybody says. Virginia does not have enough scoring consistently to beat teams at 75 points a game. They don't. They barely got enough scoring to beat you at 65 points a game. Shoot, if they would have given up 60, they would have lost. So, and then tonight's games, you have Duke, Michigan State, and North Carolina, Kentucky. And then what other games? I said that all kinds of backwards. Houston playing Kentucky, North Carolina playing Auburn, LSU playing Michigan State, and Virginia Tech playing Duke. And I basically just gave the winners. I'm sorry. I did that all kinds of backwards. I have all the blue bloods advancing. Virginia Tech's Ty Outlaw will play in this game. I've been on Twitter trolling. I was joking. I don't think that if he passes the drug test, let him play. It's not his fault. I still think Duke has too much for them. Duke doesn't. Now, if Duke was to lose, it'll be because of some type of foul trouble to either Bolden, Zion, or RJ Barrett, somebody like that. If they get in foul trouble, they're not deep enough at the forward position or scoring position unless a Cam Reddish decides to go off for like 35 points to carry them for big minutes if you get into foul trouble. Duke has got to win the rebound battle because that is where Virginia Tech in history has done. Buzz Williams' teams work really hard, and what does that include? Rebounds and steals. So, and then on to the next game, we have Michigan State playing LSU. LSU is playing some inspired basketball without Will Wade as their head coach. The Will Wade drama, the fact that these guys are have a chance to go to the Elite Eight or Final Four is crazy to me because of all the drama they're having to deal with back in Baton Rouge. And then you have Michigan State, who's always going to be well-coached, have senior leadership, everything that Duke doesn't have. And so LSU is very athletic. I really like Michigan State in this game just because of it's going to come down to coaching at the end of the game, and I don't think LSU has what Izzo can bring to the table. The only way Izzo's teams ever get beaten in the tournament is if they get out-talented. And I don't know if LSU has the talent to out-talent this Michigan State team. So now we have North Carolina playing Auburn. North Carolina's Achilles heel all year has been their shooting percentage. And they're about to run into a team that can flat out shoot the basketball. Auburn can flat out play. Now, if Auburn can shoot the three at 45 to 50% tonight, I think North Carolina loses. But if North Carolina can get up and down, run their legs out of them so they can't get up as many shots, or they're flat shots because they're tired, that's how North Carolina went. North Carolina's got to get up and down, and the pace has got to be about 80 to 90 points, in my opinion, which both teams have shown they can get to, but Auburn's done it when they've controlled the pace. But if North Carolina is controlling the pace by getting defensive rebounds, getting out and running, and getting offensive rebounds, getting long possessions, that is how they're going to wear down Auburn. And that's how North Carolina's going to win. They're going to get up and down, out-rebound, get more free throws because they're attacking the basket, not settling for jumpers. So if they can win the free throw battle and win the rebound battle and win the fast break points battle, they win the game. And then we have Kentucky versus Houston. Kentucky is probably the second most talented team in the tournament behind Duke because they have multiple NBA players. North Carolina's up there too. They have multiple NBA players on their team. But PJ Washington is coming back. Is he going to be rusty? I don't know. But he has plenty of backup, in my opinion. I like Hero. I like Travis in the middle. I'm taking Kentucky in this game mainly because they are getting Washington back. And he probably, if healthy, would have been the SEC Player of the Year. No knock on Grant Wood. I'm just speaking facts. He's going to be a lottery pick. Hero can flat out shoot it. Had one game where he dropped 30 on like 11 shots. Travis can get you 15 and 10 inside. So them three alone can get it done. And then you've got guards that can get out and get into you guarding the basketball, which is going to cause a problem for Houston. I don't think Houston has faced a team as talented as Kentucky yet. So I think that's going to cause them problems. So I like all the Blue Bloods, North Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Duke for a chance to go to the Final Four. And my Final Four teams will be, now I've changed it, now I'm going to change it a little bit because I already got one wrong. Tennessee's out. So I like Michigan State, Texas Tech. Texas Tech has shown me they can flat out play still. Give me Purdue and North Carolina to beat Kentucky. I just think that those teams are ready to compete for a national championship. And then I'll do another show, because I've already had to change managers again, because I'm going to get there wrong, for who will play for the national championship. My selfish pick, I would love for Duke to play North Carolina for a national championship. And then for Duke to beat my arch nemesis, the North Carolina Tar Heels. Yeah, eat that, David. Yeah, eat that, Curtis Spielman. Eat that, Animal. Or Hulk, whatever you want to be called. The Iron Man is telling you facts. Hashtag facts. And now, we're going to move to the questionnaire part of this podcast. First question is from the Clubhouse Sports Pod at the Clubhouse 15. Thank you for the question. What's your opinion on Jordan Howard as a running back? Jordan Howard got traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for a 6th-round pick, which could turn her into a 5th-round pick. I saw some Dallas media member, because I followed Dallas pretty closely because I'm a fan, but tried to compare the Cowboys trading for Quinn in a 6th-round pick and Howard for a 6th, maybe 5th-round pick, and said that Dallas won a trade. Now, Dallas has to pay this said 6th-round pick $10 million this year, so he's got to produce. That's how you got to look at this. I don't know how much Jordan Howard's getting paid, but I know he's like 3rd in the league in yards after contact behind Zeke and Todd Gurley. So does that have something to do with a little bit that Chicago was in a very run-first defensive style? Maybe. But also, he's shown he gets the ball out of the backfield. He's shown that he's durable. And Philadelphia is a very, kind of like Kansas City, they're not a run-first team. They just run the ball to keep you honest. So I really like him in this system and being more of a second option. If they can sign Ajayi back, he can really complement Ajayi. And now they've got depth. And it all comes down to, can they have a healthy quarterback all season? And I haven't watched him enough. Haven't watched enough film to know if he's a good enough pass blocker. But he's shown good hands. He's shown that he can take the hits, being 3rd in the NFL in yards after contact. It means he runs through arm tackles. So, giving up a 5th or a 6th round pick for a proven running back like that, I think that's a fair comp. Second question from @BallifyNBA. Should the NBA shorten their season? I've seen this many, many times about shorting the NBA season, and I think it's the dumbest thing ever. If everybody's played 82 games for as long as I can remember, why change it? What is different? Are more players getting hurt than back then? No. Does it freak happen like it did in the NFL 2 years ago, where a bunch of people get hurt and it drives down ratings? Maybe. But you play lesser games, it's not going to change anything, because James Harden could go out here next week and tear his ACL. I wish no harm on James Harden. I was just speaking facts. He could go out here and do it. It doesn't matter if he's playing one more game or 30 more games. It's the fact every time you step on the floor, you could get hurt. And so shorting an NBA season doesn't really do anything for me. It's a scheduling thing. I really like the fact that the NBA finals are in June. Now, are we going to move it all the way back into March? No, because March Madness is on. Do we want the NBA finals going on when the Final Four is going on? No. It's just the way it's always been, and I don't want to mess with that. All right, my next set of questions are from @MSSneed at MikeDropSports.com. Check him out. Ask me, who you got winning the 2019 World Series? Well, since I'm not like a big baseball fan, I just follow like the Rangers and their garbage. So I'm going to be outside the box, because I grew up a Braves fan because of TBS. I'm going to go with the Braves. I have nothing to back that up. No facts, no nothing, just complete fandom. I'm going to go with the Braves versus, let me come up with an AL team that I think could get to the, because they got a crap ton of money. Let's go with the Yankees. Don't think it's going to happen. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Biggest impact quarterback transfer of 2019. It has got to be Fields from Georgia going to Ohio State. And we're going to find out if Urban Meyer's replacement can really coach. Because now players aren't just coming to – I mean, because he coached last year, but those were with Meyer's players. So now we're going to see if he can really recruit people to come to the Ohio State. The dumbest statement in sports. But anyways, tournament, who's winning? Who I want to win is Duke. That's plain and simple. Who I think non-biasedly will win. I'm still riding with North Carolina. I have not seen anything from any other team that has scared me off of North Carolina. North Carolina is a great team basketball. They might not be the most talented. They're probably top three or four left in the tournament. But they are still the best team because they showed even last thing. Cam Johnson didn't have a baller points and rebounds game, but he still helped out with seven assists. May has averaged like 15 and 13 in the last 2 months. So I just haven't seen anything that's getting me off my North Carolina pick. When they lose, I might change that. But right now, it's North Carolina. And most impactful offseason quarterback move. Flacco, as far as like starters go, but as far as Blake Bortles going to the Rams and giving them a good backup, because like I always talked about last year about how Nick Foles is the most, like, the biggest insurance policy in all the NFL. And I think now that's either Blake Bortles, you know what? I'm going to go with Blake Bortles, but since we're on the talk of who's the biggest insurance policy, it's still going to be Teddy Bridgewater. Because even if Drew Brees was to get hurt, I think with having Hill as the backup, as your kind of wide receiver, punt return, all those things, and you have Teddy Bridgewater, who started in the NFL before, I think that's a big insurance policy. You have RG3 in Baltimore to be behind Lamar Jackson, which really neither of them are accurate passers, so I don't know what Baltimore's really doing. So trying to think of some other quality backups. I don't know. But another thing, kind of while we're on the NFL, I posed a question. Can the Browns win the AFC? Because I saw somebody compare the Browns attitudes and stuff, like trying to get the personalities together like the 90s Cowboys. Before you go comparing them to my 90s Cowboys, can they win first? Like, they haven't even played a game together yet. Can we calm down? Like, really? But what's going to happen to the Browns if somebody gets hurt, especially if Baker Mayfield gets hurt? Because right now it's all fun. You got Jarvis Landry. You got Odell Beckham Jr. You've got Baker Mayfield with all these weapons. Njoku at the tight end position can play. He's got a lot of weapons. Now Baker has no excuse. First of all, can we see if Kitchens can really coach? He's never coached a down in the NFL as far as a head coaching job goes. So can we chill out with all this nonsense? Let him get in the playoffs. Let him win the AFC North. And let him win the AFC before we start even having championship aspirations. It's the Cleveland Browns we're talking about here, guys. We need to calm down. I'll say the same thing about when they get too excited about the Dallas Cowboys. Can we please pump the brakes? Neither team has won a championship in a long time. Just stop. Okay, I just wanted it silent so we can just stop with this. The Browns are going to the Super Bowl thing. Can we stop? Just stop. Another topic that's been on my mind is Zion Williamson overrated. Now, what are we rating him as? Are we rating him as the next Michael Jordan? That's a little stretch. Is he more overhyped than LeBron James? Yeah, but I think LeBron would be as hyped if there would have been a media craze and social media back when LeBron came out in 2003. For crying out loud, he was on the Sports Illustrated cover at 16. So, yeah, he was well known. Jay Billis called him the best high school player he's ever seen in 2002. So, I still think if you don't take Zion Williamson number one, you will get fired as a GM. That's just plain and simple going to happen. He should go number one. But what are we rating him as? Is he a super athletic guy that can block shots, that can guard one through five at times, is a hard to guard from about 18 feet and in? Because anything outside of 18 feet, I think Zion's got a lot of work to do. I mean, he's shooting. People are like, oh, he's making threes. Well, I mean, yeah. But they're also wide open because nobody wants – because you try and close out on him, he's just going to blow by you and dunk on your entire team. And like Michael Jordan says, it's only worth 2 points, but if you dunk on someone, it'll demoralize the team. I would rather Zion Williamson shooting threes than let Zion go dunk on my team, because if he's dunking on us, we might get defeated mentally. But as far as that overrated, underrated thing goes, what are you classifying him as? If you're classifying as, athletic, Julius Randle, I think that's a fair thing. Take him number one overall. If he can give you what Julius Randle's been giving New Orleans, which, first off, how is that dude only making $9 million? Julius Randle only making, I have no idea. That makes no sense to me. I know I'm kind of rambling, but it's the sports world. I bounce around. But I don't think... It depends on what your definition of rated as far as Zion Williamson is. Is he overrated for all the hype? Probably, because really, he can dunk. He can take you off the dribble. He has some post moves. That's about it. I mean, he can get out and run, catch alley-oops, pick and roll, but he's not going to step out and hit that 25-footer at a consistent basis. Not right now, anyway. He's got a lot of work to do. Could he be great? Absolutely. But it... Is he going to be a top 30 player in the NBA as soon as he walks out there? Well, no. But people are crazy and stupid and trollers and people that say that are dumb. They're the same people that say Drew Holiday is not a top 25 player. Drew Holiday is worth $25 million. He's averaging another 22 a game. And he can defend. He's one of the top defenders in the league. Him and Beverly. So... That's just crazy talk that you're out here saying that Zion Williamson is going to automatically be a top 30 player in the NBA. Just stop. Same people that say the Browns are going to the Super Bowl. Stop. Just stop, man. Stop. Like the Jordan gift, stop. Stop doing this to yourself. So. And this completes the Rehab Sports Guys podcast.